Exactly 2 years ago, on August 11th, 2017, I was singing that song over and over again with 700 other people congregated in St. Paul's Memorial Church in Charlottesville, located right alongside the grounds of the University of Virginia. It was a Friday night, and people had packed the church to the fire code's limit and probably passed it for what was a two-hour interfaith mountaintop experience in the spirit of the civil rights movement, or what, prayer meetings. Freedom songs had populated the night, culminating in barn burner sermons from Dr. Cornel West and Reverend Tracy Blackman, the UCC's National Minister for Justice and Witness Ministries, and a civil rights leader out of Ferguson, Missouri. Tracy here designed the liturgy and flow of the service, and faith leaders local and national who had traveled from across the country participated. But after 2 hours, when the service had technically ended, we kept singing those freedom songs led by my dear friend and brother in Christ, Reverend Usajie Fuseku, pictured top right. It was like those services in the 1960s, but in more ways than one. The windows were rattling and the spirit was soaring, yes. But the church, at capacity on that hot summer night, was also put on lockdown by those of us running the service. Outside, we learned, right across the street, several hundred white supremacists, there in town for the so-called Unite the Right rally, were marching with torches and congregating around the statue of Thomas Jefferson, America's godfather of white supremacy, in front of the university's UNESCO World Heritage ordained rotunda. They had started a day early. They were chanting slogans from the Third Reich of Nazi Germany like blood and soil. They were chanting Jews will not replace us and white lives matter. They were chanting most famously, you will not replace us. When they got to the statue, they found a couple dozen UVA students and activists protesting them and police nowhere to be visibly found. They circled and started beating the students, pouring lighter fluid on them and spraying them with chemical agents before police finally decided to intervene. The doors of the church were thrown open to provide care for some students who made it there while we were trying to evacuate people out the back and down the alley before going on lockdown again, because white supremacists were now scattered into the streets with torches and baseball bats. We kept singing. We kept people appraised of why we were still singing, but not to the fullest extent of the severity, but people knew why. 250 people in there that night had traveled to Charlottesville specifically in response to a call from a new organization called Congregate. And everyone there in that church was hoping to get prayed up and purified before God knows what the next day. Sometimes, all the time, God's mountaintop experiences break in and bolster us when we're experiencing the lowest of lows. It's in that tension, in that space, that we cling to if we are called by a so-called higher power. And it's especially true for those of us curious about, compelled by, or claiming a going steady relationship with the handyman named Jesus, who we say embodied the spirit and life God seeks for all of us to live on earth, and who was born to an unwed teenage mother in an unimportant part of the world, exploited under occupation, living his life among the so-called lowest of the low, and preaching a kingdom that would turn the powers and principalities of men and their empire religions like white supremacy, patriarchy, consumer capitalism, militarism, upside down. We call it Easter that this person, Jesus, defeated the death-dealing ways of empire. That's gospel. Good news. That's gospel specificity. This way of living that leads to lifestyle and bodily cost and death and life again. And death came to Charlottesville. For 8 weeks, we had been preparing people of faith and conscience who felt called to respond to this inbreaking of white supremacy for the worst possible outcomes, while also equipping them to respond with a new story. We went out there, as Jesus said in the scripture read today, dressed to act, many of us in the full clergy drag of our ordained callings. A new story, we hoped, with public witness, would mitigate the harm that was surely coming. And maybe it did. Indeed, I believe it is a miracle more people didn't die that day. But the day, as I'm sure you all know, was awful, becoming a national trauma. Our group of clergy in the streets on the 12th were the first group assaulted. This picture was taken right before that, actually. After 2 hours of racist, anti-Semitic, and homophobic slurs hurled at us while we sang by the KKK, neo-Nazis, and groups like Vanguard America, which included James Fields. DeAndre Harris was beaten within an inch of his life nearby. A KKK member fired a gun at Corey Long, another black man, with impunity, and more. A member of my church, Sojourners UCC, in Charlottesville, was punched full in the face in full view of law enforcement. All of this was in full view of so-called law enforcement. Police did nothing through all of this, but stood and watched with palace guard stares. And the car attack. I was standing next to Heather Heyer's body, holding people as she took her last breath, with bodies writhing on the ground all around her amid the blood and shattered glass. There's so much more I could tell. And why do I tell you all this? A few reasons, some I'll expand on later. But one is this. Today is August 11th, and tomorrow is August 12th. And these days are seared into my being, not just for what transpired, but also for the call we felt as clear as any we had ever felt that summer. The call when we chose to turn aside and hear our neighbors and friends, women, people of color, queer folks, all of the above, all leading the movement in Charlottesville, all with well-founded distrust, if not outright hatred of the church, when we heard them call out in anger, fear, confusion, and hurt for aid and solidarity in this so-called summer of hate. To begin with you all here at Rincon, especially today, is to bring this with me, this pastoral posture and priorities. And I want you to know where I'm coming from a bit before we pivot forward together. Which leads to another reason I share. Congregate was started by me and another UCC colleague, Reverend Brittany Kane Conley, my dear sister in Christ, specifically in response to people of faith and conscience who wanted to make sure their lamps were lit when the time came, but didn't feel like they had the tools or spirits prepared to know how to be when that time came. How could we visually and spiritually tell a new story out of our shared calling that could be a beacon for liberation with one another and within our community? What discipleship could we deepen and possess to be able to link arms, literally, in order to face what was to come? You might have noticed that I used the word respond a few times. That's intentional. We did not want to react to the violent inbreaking of white supremacy. And side note, there's not a much more redundant phrase than violent white supremacy. We'll assume it. We wanted to use this rupture as an opportunity to respond by telling the life-giving story we believe we have, that God is in the business of turning things around, repentance, and infusing them with new life like a gardener in a drought, a water in the desert, a monsoon in Tucson, etc. And God is very much against white supremacy. God takes sides. And in order to do that, God needs us to do our part. We need to get honest about who we are, our collective history, our wounds, and to face them down and recommit daily to the process of living God's good news with one another and within our community. Now is a season for Rincon to respond. Rincon UCC has a rich history of telling good news. Rincon UCC has a bold present telling good news through the migrant shelter and much more. You all, from what I've heard, live lives telling good news in your vocations. But I also know this is a time of no small amount of anger, hurt, fear, and confusion. And yet here you all are, with your beautiful lives, your beautiful faces, your beautiful histories and work, ready to go into what comes next. What will that be? God knows. God knows. Depends on where you put the emphasis. And by the grace and space she provides, that will be for us to discern. And we have time. But how will we get there? Well, this was in this morning's liturgy. The five major tasks of interim ministry are these, and we'll unpack them together in depth in the months ahead. Coming to terms with history, discovering a new identity, allowing needed leadership change, renewing denominational ties. Hey, Barb. Committing to new directions in ministry. That all sounds pretty big, right? But remember, do not be afraid, for it is your God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Through these tasks, we will get ever closer. As it is for especially cis-hetero white folks who commit to confronting and dismantling white supremacy, these growth periods carry real, even existential costs for us as a congregation. But these costs also liberate. Trust me when I say that the journey we are embarking on carries costs, but that liberate. We have spark. I've already seen it, and we're only like 50 minutes in. Sparks ignite. And our first task is warming ourselves in the now. And here's where I'm going with all of this, too. These five things are not dissimilar from our grounding in Congregate. 2017 was an interim season for our city and indeed our country. Many saw it, felt the call, and lit their lamps. Even more, including all of Charlottesville's senior pastors, did not, but that's a story for another time. It was a pivot point, though, a seismic one. It might feel like this is a seismic year for Rincon as well. From everything I've heard, that certainly sounds true. But here's the secret. When we are coming fully alive in God through each season as individuals, families, and congregations, living and leaning into lighting our lamps, the impact on the world around us is seismic because the world is governed by all that Jesus came to turn around and subvert. We are seismic. You are seismic. We will get there through listening, through rest, through healing, through hard and fun conversations, through hard and fun work, through worshiping together, by lighting our lamps and protecting the flames of those who feel like they're flickering weakly. This little weekly, W-E-A-K, we don't want people to flicker like weekly. I was an English major. All right. This little light of ours, it will rock windows before we're done. No matter what threats in the chaos of the world threaten outside. And we will throw open the doors, indeed continue to do so, when people come knocking in pain, fear, and hope. It will take faith, something we talk about a lot in these walls. I'm putting my faith in you, that you're ready to begin the long, deep, hard, life-giving work to pivot into bold and beautiful and healing new chapters. That I will be able to come alongside all y'all, which is the plural of y'all, and steward and equip the muscles needed to enhance your strong foundations, repair weak ones, discard expired infrastructure, and continue to tell the story of how you, we, be church with each other within Tucson and to the country and world in this interim season. But let me say this clearly. Interim is not a stopgap measure. I am not a substitute teacher or a relief pitcher. I am part of the ongoing story that you, that we are telling as Rincon Congregational UCC and residents of Tucson, Arizona, in the United States of America. This is not a fallow period. This is high drama, page-turning storytelling that will continue for years after I'm gone, just as it has continued for years leading up to this moment. But it is all-inclusive, open and affirming, empowering storytelling. And so you're also putting your faith in me, and I welcome your prayerful wisdom with open arms that I, new to Tucson and new to you, will be a valuable steward and equipper of the work laid before us, before all of you. Because as worshipers and members in the United Church of Christ, especially in an interim season, in the end, the bold and beautiful work does belong to you, beginning, middle, and end. We are Congregationalists. Why and then how and then what comes of your story is your story to tell. I'm here to just help you all get from this day, August 11th, 2019, to the next day, 18 to 24 months from now, with our lamps lit and ready, and I am excited. It is deeply special to get to start a new story with all of you. God is still speaking, as we say here in the UCC. Are you ready? God is ready. What does getting ready look like? Well, maybe you felt in these past years that what light you had to share in this journey as a community needed to be hidden under a bushel. Maybe you need some time to rekindle your light, to nourish the flame by nourishing yourself. Maybe you've got a bright light that hasn't been used where you'd feel most alive and useful. Maybe all of the above, and that's okay. That's great, actually. I want to connect with all of you. Ensure this is safe space and be part of this beautiful ongoing weaving this community is doing so that when crisis knocks on our doors or hits us from within, we are ready to pray, heal, laugh, cry, love, and act with gospel specificity. God wants our aliveness most of all. Are you ready? What does ready look like? It looks like you, wherever you are on life's journey, and exactly where this church is right now. It looks like making space for one another and for the life-giving soul breath of the living God that infuses all of our interactions when we hold that space. All you need to bring is yourself and a flickering flame or a desire for one. Holding space is what we most commonly refer to as our goal for people training up with Congregate. How can people of faith and conscience hold space in the midst of people who are angry, hurt, scared, and confused, which, let's be honest, is all of us at any given point during a week? You don't just have to have a bunch of Nazis there who want to hurt and kill you. When we are equipped to hold space and, just as importantly, be held, we realize that confronting injustices in our lives is not just prophetic, but is truly pastoral living. That night in the church on August 11th, 2 years ago, we didn't know what the next day would bring. But we had done that interim work, not just in the 8 weeks leading up to it, but in the months and even years before. Nothing was perfect. Nothing ever is. Trust was tender within our newly forged community of Antifa activists between Congregate and other groups who had that healthy and justified distrust of church folks. Trust is tender here. Resentments, they linger. I get it. But I'm encouraging you now, and will be over these next few months, to let your lights gleam a little as we build towards the future in trust that we are responding to the same call together. This is a time to burn bright. Are your lamps lit? Are you ready to act with one another? It's okay if not. We are going to nurture our flames first of all, if need be. We are going to feel at home in this place so we can continue to make it a home for others, the kingdom. The wedding banquet is here. The wedding banquet is coming. Finally, and as is probably clear by now, this is a big deal for me beginning today, though you didn't know it when you got here this morning, perhaps. I thank you for sharing it with me these days. The entire summer of hate we experienced in Charlottesville, but especially August 11th and 12th, 2017, especially for those of us who were at the front lines of it all, permanently rearranged my life in ways too numerous to mention. But with trauma, with broken relationships, and with unmistakable beauty and good opportunities to share, there is before and there is after August 11th and 12th. I received this note 8 months after that day in 2017, and I want to share it with you now. Hi, Seth. I've actually been trying to figure out your name for months since we met in Charlottesville. Then I saw your interview with Katie Couric. I've wanted to reach out to say thank you. We stood together after the white supremacist attack in August. You hugged me when I broke down after seeing Heather die, and you led me to your fellow pastor when you couldn't stay with me any longer. That bit of kindness in such a horrible moment is something I will never forget. In a day that I can't forget, even if I tried, I have that good memory to hold on to. When we are overwhelmed or worn down or looking for a light in the darkness within and without, know this truth. We have arms to hold and be held. We have that to hold on to. We have each other. Let's start there. Tomorrow is a new day. I'm ready. We're ready. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.